when you approached me to talk, I thought to myself, well, this really isn't about employment at all. This is really a spiritual question, because my transition was really about my purpose as a human being.
Welcome to the Cubicle Revolution. This is a podcast about finding another way. It's about redefining success, finding the courage to follow that inner whisper, and creating a career path that speaks wildly to the deepest parts of your soul. For the successful but unfulfilled, the yearning but bored, the stressed out, over-caffeinated, desperate for more kind of person. If you're wondering how you got here and how to get out, put your headphones on and press play. I'm your host, Candace Carlton. Let's get started. I'm super excited to introduce my next guest. Laurette DeJulian, or as we like to call her, Lori, has been my personal teacher for the last 5 years for all things creating another path, as well as A Course in Miracles. Lori was a highfalutin C-suite bank executive with 2 postgraduate degrees who one day had what she calls a spiritual awakening that radically changed her life and transformed her career path. Lori has an incredible way of really uncomplicating what seems to most of us super layered and complicated by getting to the essence of really who we are in this world and who we're meant to be. I think you're going to love this.
If you look at me on paper, I was wildly successful, but very, very unfulfilled and very unhappy in many, many respects.
And I guess the question there is, like, did you know it at the time?
Did I know I was unhappy?
Yeah, did you know you were unhappy?
I was miserable.
You were.
I was miserable because to play at the level that I was playing at, it was very demanding. There's competition. There's expectations. You always have to be on your game. It's like being a professional athlete. And you can only be at that level for so long. It was pretty much spiritually bankrupt, unhappy most of the times. And sometimes you don't even know how unhappy you are because you just assume that's how everybody else is. That's how life goes.
Right, and because that was my question. It's like you're a high performer in your career. You're a C-suite executive. You're earning a lot of money. You're getting to buy the things you want to buy, have the experiences you want to have. But in my experience, in climbing that ladder the whole way, I think to myself, God, this just doesn't feel the way I think it should feel. But when I would ask other people about it, they would be like, no, 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 you should be grateful for what you have. Like, keep going.
Yeah. So last night, getting prepared for this call, I was kind of thinking about it and how I could make the best analogy. You know, I used to do a lot of triathlons, and for those of you that aren't familiar with that, you know, there's a lot of excitement and chaos at the first leg of a triathlon because you have to venture out into the water and the gun goes off and there's just all this commotion and you're in this kind of semi-dangerous situation with people pulling your leg and swimming on top of you and punching and kicking to get ahead. And you have that, and you also have the actual current that you're swimming against. You know, and in the beginning, it's quite exhilarating, you know. It's quite exhilarating. It's like all this commotion. But, you know, if you're an adrenaline junkie, you thrive on that commotion. And so for me personally, getting out in there, you know, being aware of who's swimming along next to me, feeling my body, pushing through the water, feeling the current, breathing, hearing myself breathe. It's a very invigorating experience. But after a while, you begin to tire and you have to roll over on your back if you're swimming a considerable distance, which I was doing. And you roll over on your back and you reflect. So pretty much for me, I had one of those turnover moments where I rolled over on my back to breathe, thought to myself, what am I doing? And I have to say, in part of my triathlon career, I did roll over on my back and say, you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why?
Right.
It was a very similar moment in my career. And so But, you know, my why didn't come. I asked the why, and then I had what I can look back in retrospect now, an answer to my why. Because I had a spiritual experience. I had an experience of myself as a essence or a being beyond my body. This is hard to verbalize or articulate, but I started to receive wisdom from that being beyond my body. I started a conversation, and at first I was really annoyed, like, what are you doing talking to me? I really don't, you know, you're interrupting my meditation here. And then I became curious in what it was telling me, and I started listening to it. It was quite interesting because it was guiding me. It was telling me what was going to happen. It was telling me private things about people in my life that other people, you know, it's just not common knowledge. It was telling me all this stuff. And I began a relationship where I could trust it. So it finally told me that what are you doing? And why are you doing it? And all my reasons for why I was doing what I was doing had nothing to do with my connection to this wisdom. So if this wisdom could tell me all this intimate information about myself, the world, and the world around me, it certainly could guide me to what I should be doing. So in a nutshell, I had to develop trust. And so what you're really asking me about is about trust and faith. And that's a big, big subject, right? You know, I'd love to say, I got up from my desk one day and I just walked out and I did A, B, and C.
Right.
And if you do A, B, and C, you too can be doing what you love in life in 2 months or less. And in truth, that could be true, but without faith and trust in yourself, chances are you're going to struggle.
I mean, I wanted that. If you could give me a recipe to do the work that I'm meant for and get paid and do and be very successful at it, like, I wanted that. But I think what you're saying is, in its truest essence, is that we're called to do things, and the way that we're called is different for each person, but there's a common theme around it, and I want to talk about that. It's this idea that instead of going inward and, like, really discovering who we are and what we're meant for in this life and what makes us happy, we go into a space of, like, intellectual. Like, give me the recipe, tell me how to do it, and then kind of that logic of, like, what makes sense. Because I don't think anything you did was necessarily logical, was it, in leaving such a big job?
It was on the surface. Now, I'm talking on the surface level to the people around me, everybody in my life. It was suicide. It was financial suicide.
During that process, at any time, did you think to yourself in the same way of, like, why am I staying in this job? Am I crazy to leave this job? Because I know people have a lot of ambivalence around those type of decisions when they're that big.
Well, so I have to say that I spent my process from start to finish was 24 months, okay? So 24 months of building a relationship or dating with spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's important to know. Like, you were kind of like, this isn't right for me. I know it, but I'm not entirely sure what's next. Was that kind of the vibe? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very complicated at the time because I had the surface level dissatisfaction going on. But the surface level dissatisfaction had to do with all the unfinished business I had internally. So, you know, when you look at the surface level or the surface layer, is just a reflection of what's going on at the seed level within yourself.
But Lori, talk more about that. Like, what does that mean? Because you've got, what is your surface level of dissatisfaction versus, like, your internal level of satisfaction?
Well, again, so, for instance, you know, you get a job, you're making 50 grand a year, and 50 grand a year is what you need to make to cover your bills. And so you go to this job, and hopefully, you know, you enjoy it. A lot of people don't. But at some level,
people don't. Okay, yeah. True, right?
A lot of people, that's why they call it work.
Right, right.
Nobody says, I'm going to do my passion today. Some people
right.
do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give the impression that there are people out there not living in their passion.
Mm.
But at some level, people are very much identified with what they do, and it gives them value.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're finding your value with something outside of who you are, i.e., if you were laid off or you couldn't find a job, would you still love yourself and find value in your life at the same level?
Mm-hmm.
The answer for most people is no.
Right.
Okay, so that's because they're finding value in something outside of themselves.
Right, so that's the external dissatisfaction.
Right, and
okay.
You know, at some level there is some surface tension, whether you like your job or not, that I need to go to work somewhere, whether consciously or unconsciously, I need to go to work to survive, to cover my bills.
Which is, okay. In part, some truth to that, right? Everyone has
right.
to have a job.
Well, not everybody, but if, you know, you're in Southern California or where I live, most people need some stream of income to support where they live.
Right.
You know, an apartment, buying food. And
yes.
you want enough leeway also where you're not living paycheck to paycheck, because that can be very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is if I got in touch with myself and had satisfaction and knew that I could provide for myself in any given situation, regardless of what's going on around me, and I found joy and peace in my everyday life, would I be affected by anything on the surface level?
And I mean, that feels, I get what you're saying, right? Because I've been in spiritual practice for a while, for many years, and what a difference that has made just to my everyday level of joy and my experience. But do we ever get, do you think, that space of where we just have the complete trust, confidence, and peace where we're not moved by external stuff?
Without practice, no.
Mm.
That's why they call it spiritual practice. So I want you to visualize a piece of blank white paper. And if you're listening to my voice right now, if you have a piece of blank white paper, go ahead and put it in front of you. And then I'd like you to draw a little black dot, a nice little round black dot in the middle of that paper.
I just did mine, Lori.
Okay. So the little black dot represents your spiritual self. Now, I want you to visualize, if you could, sitting within that little black dot, on that little space, sitting down. And into this space, as you're sitting there, all you can think about is love, joy, peace, and your connection and trust to your highest self. Or for some people, they call it the universe or source or God. So just think about that for a moment. Think of yourself sitting there in that special sacred dot connected to God and feeling taken care of and whole.
Feels really good.
Now, honestly, I want to ask you, how many times did you travel away from that dot in that short period of time? Did you think about what I was going to say next? Did you think about what that noise is in the air conditioning? Did you think about what am I having for dinner? How long is this going to be? You know,
yes.
So every time you travel off that dot, you move in the outside world around you, and in this particular example, it's a blank piece of paper.
Mm.
There's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing out there. So where you're running to and the things that you're talking about or thinking about don't really exist. So as you float out there off of your dot with no connection to your higher wisdom in nothingness, how do you feel?
Empty. It's like
Yes. Alone.
Yeah.
Abandoned. Overwhelmed by the responsibility that you're all by yourself.
Right.
So that's our life. That's our existence. So, you know, everybody, I work with people one-on-one. And by the way, that's my passion, is working with people one-on-one. I absolutely love it. It helps me so much with my practice. Most of them say to me, I don't have time to sit on the black dot. Don't you see I'm out here doing my grocery shopping, running carpools, you know, at business meetings. But where is out here?
Right.
It's out there in that nothingness. And every time we get up off of that dot and travel out into this nothingness, whether it's eating a pizza that we shouldn't be eating, or having sex with somebody just casually, or doing drugs, no matter how exhilarating it might feel when we first leave that dot, like, I'm going to go do this on my own, at some point, you're going to realize you're out there floating in nothingness, and you're going to feel alone, abandoned, depressed, and overwhelmed. So when we have spiritual practice, it's very similar to the game of musical chairs, right? When we were kids, we used to play this game. I don't know if you played it in South Africa.
We played musical chairs, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can recall it, Candace, but I used to always hover very closely to the chair because when the music stopped,
you want to be close to it. Yeah.
I wanted to be able to sit down and feel safe. Well, what happens is we get involved with the song.
Mm.
This song that we feel that will make us happy, or we get bored or whatever. And so we go out into this chaotic music, and then the music stops and we're out there and we can't find our chair. So that's why I tell people, stay very close to your chair with spiritual practice. So when the music stops, which it will go on and off throughout your life, you know where your chair is.
So I think, Lori, what the essence of what you're saying, and tell me if I've got it, is really work is really just an expression, or like an expression, like your dissatisfaction with work. Well, actually, this is something I've been debating. So this, I'll ask the question, is like work, like anything else, like relationships or whatever, and how you feel in the world is really just an expression of the relationship that you have to almost like your authentic truth, moving in your truth. I know you and I have talked about that. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing work or your inner job for reasons that you think will make you happy and they're all external, and maybe they're not aligned with your truth, you're going to have that level of dissatisfaction no matter what type of work you do, because you're not connected to your higher self and your higher self equaling your truth, essentially. Is that kind of it?
Yes, that's exactly it. So in the example that we had, when you're doing your work, are you sitting on your black dot? Are you out away from the black dot? And I have a lot of people ask me,
yeah,
very successful people say, well, look, I want to be all spiritual and do all this stuff, but it doesn't really relate to my everyday life.
Right.
Which is the way they say, they're telling me what I think I need to do to provide myself has nothing to do with me and my connection to my higher self. I need to be tough. I need to fight. I need to suffer. I need to work hard. And all of those have nothing to do with sitting on your black dot.
Okay, so I've got some questions for you here. This is kind of an interesting one. What if, and maybe it's a good thing, what if you're in an environment And it is very kind of like your old job. There's a lot of competition. There's expectations. You always have to be on your game. And if you decide, gosh, this is exhausting and I'm dissatisfied and I'm going to begin a spiritual practice, of which, by the way, I notice that people have to get to a certain point of unhappiness often before they step there. They're like, they've tried everything. Okay, well, maybe going inward might be an answer. So they're in this environment and we say, okay, you need to really connect with your truth, your essence. You need to create some kind of spiritual practice, whatever that looks like for you. There's a fear that if they begin to move in a way that's more authentic to them in that current environment, they'll no longer be able to exist or be successful in that environment, which is probably, is that true? It's probably true. And so they have some fear about not being able, they want to keep everything that they have, but be happy.
Well, when you want to keep everything that you have and want to be happy, you have to also then keep all parts of the situation, parts that make you unhappy as well.
And what about the fear that if they move in their truth, they'll no longer be able to exist in the environment that they're in?
Well, they won't. So here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Why don't you just try it out and see? You can always go back to the old way of being.
When I first started meditating and diving deep into yoga and A Course in Miracles, I actually used my work environment as an experiment to see, like, if I practiced the principles there, what would happen.
And what I thought was really interesting with your situation in particular, Candace, was you had dissatisfaction with your job. So the first thing you did was you went and you sat on the dock.
Mm-hmm.
And you really got connected to your higher wisdom. And through that process, you didn't necessarily think you had to abandon your job or leave your job. You just needed to connect to it in a different way, in a way that you couldn't consider when you were off your black dot. So the first question, and the most obvious question that you need to ask yourself is, does your present employment bring you pleasure or not?
Okay, so does your job bring you pleasure?
Yeah, so in general, what we're looking at is we're looking for happiness. So the most obvious question is, do I enjoy what I'm getting up and doing every day?
Mm-hmm.
Because in general, the most productive and peaceful existence emanates from the place in which, you know, your joy and your passion intersect.
Okay, and then what if you like, okay, I won't get into details yet, but let's keep going. Okay, so do I like my job? And the reason I was about to ask the question is I think that sometimes there's a lot of consideration around that. I like what I do day to day, but I don't like my boss. I like what I do day to day, but I don't like the organizational structure and having to deal with a company, like being within the confines of a company. So these are things that people come up with.
So that segues into my second question.
Okay.
So the first question is, does your present employment bring you pleasure or not? Okay. And I had said pleasure really is where what you have a passion for and what you do for a living intersects.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get clear on what passion is because people get confused about passions. You know, passion is where you're not tired and exhausted. Passion is where you're fulfilled. Passion is where you have satisfaction. And there's this fullness of engaging with your passion. It comes effortlessly, and it has no limits or requirements. And chances are there may be many factions of your job that you enjoy. However, there are still portions that are frequently seen as bringing you dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to say to you, you either have to accept the whole picture or you need to move on. And so the second question I'm going to say is, how do you feel when you interact with your employer? And I think that's the question you asked me. You know, what's your boss like? What's your organizational structure like? Perhaps you like to be a professional artist, but you're working for an organization that you don't care for.
Right.
And what is it about that organization that makes you uncomfortable?
great.
Is it expectations that you have? You know, and I can really get deeply into the course because, you know, anything that makes me uncomfortable, I have an association to the past that makes me have that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you were my boss and I didn't like you, chances are that there is behavior that reminds me of some other person in my life that I have unresolved issues with. But given that, is this really something that I need to resolve and that will never resolve, that I'll have difficulty everywhere I go? Or is this something that I say, I've learned what I need to do, I understand that I am the only one that can control my own happiness, and I will never feel comfortable working with Candace?
So, Lori, first question, are you happy in what you do? Second question
is, how do you interact with your employer?
How do you interact with your employer? And what I'm really getting about that is it just not ever going to fit for you? Like, it's authentic and true, or is there something in there for you to see and learn about yourself? Because it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find that same thing.
So I'll give you an example of my husband, because he frequently says this, is that he was fired from every job he ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's an entrepreneur, and he does not like working for anybody else.
Totally. I love that example, because that's so true, right? Like, he's never going to work. He's never going to like any of his bosses, ever.
He doesn't like to be told what to do. So he started his own company 19 years ago, and it's been very, very successful for him, and he enjoys what he does.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Just because where you are right now, maybe that doesn't fit, there's a place where everyone fits.
There's a divine calling where you are – enable yourself to express who you are.
Okay, I love that. What's the third one?
The third technique is, how much confidence and love do you have for yourself?
And if someone's listening to that, what has this got to do with their job? And we've told you.
Well, okay, so we're getting into deeper levels now, right? If you think of a funnel, we talked about surface layer. So the first surface, what you think your real problem is not necessarily your real problem.
Right.
I don't like my job. Okay. Is it really the environment of the job, or is it how I relate to the structure of my job?
Right. I got it. So it's like you're really going through a process of discovery. Like, what am I really unhappy with?
What you'll find is, you're going down deeper and deeper levels, almost like a funnel.
Mm.
The top is the job. Is it really the job? Or is it how you're relating to a person at your job?
Got it. And then it's
how you're relating
to yourself.
And then how is it that do you not like this person or this structure because you don't have confidence in yourself? You don't love yourself. You feel like you're inadequate. Is that really the source? Is it really your employer or your feeling of inadequacy?
Got it. And then what's the fourth layer?
How present are you in general?
I love that, Lori. I love that because ultimately what it comes down to is taking responsibility for what you've created in your life instead of blaming the job or your boss or the company.
So when you're very present, you're sitting on that black thought, okay? And little effort is required while resting in this place or this presence. Answers evolve naturally, and events flow rather than prohibit. So the longer you can maintain your seat, the greater peace and clarity you obtain, and the more happiness you have. So that's why that's really where you need to be every day and throughout your day, is sitting on that dot, because regardless of what you're doing, you'll be in your divine purpose.
And
it just naturally come.
And what I found is that things flow to you when you're in that space too. It just becomes obvious. It's kind of like your blinders come off and you see things you didn't see before.
So in essence, what I'm saying is your situation really about your working environment, or does your predicament stem from a place of not remembering who you are, what you want, and how to best create it?
So, Lori, this has been a fascinating conversation, as per usual, and I think for anyone listening in, what I really got is if you're looking for your purpose in work, your first stop is spiritual practice. It's that going inward, and the rest will just take care of itself.
A couple of ideas I'd like to leave people with. One, this outline, the four-step outline, you can use with anything in your life, not just work.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, a relationship. Instead of saying, does your present employment bring you pleasure or not, you could say, does your current relationship bring you pleasure or not?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel when you interact, instead of your employer, but with your partner?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last two questions are the same because they come from the question is always the same. It will
mm-hmm.
always come down to how present are you, which means how connected are you?
And that goes the same in the relationship with your body, right, as well.
Everything comes down to this one thing. How present are you to your spiritual self and to your connection? And everything emanates from there. You might think you have many problems,
but you only have one.
That's right, and that's the core issue. And I challenge anybody out there to go through this questioning process, even whatever the problem is.
Lori, where can people find you?
www.loretdedulian.com.
And we'll have it in the show notes of this podcast. And if you check out Lori's website, you'll also find some videos that her and I have made. She is, you know, as I do this intro for you, I'm going to say that you're a mega spiritual teacher, because really, you are.
Don't say that, please.
But you are, and you're so smart and compassionate and also kind of strict sometimes, too, in terms of, like, really being committed to helping people find their truth so that they can find what they're looking for, not what they think that they're looking for.